You're listening to the In Demand Podcast.
The podcast.
Don't forget to follow In Demand on Facebook. Facebook.com/Alex and Lucy.
It's In Demand, and tonight it's my great pleasure to introduce two legends from Coldplay. It's Guy and Will. Hello.
Hi, Lucy.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm very well. How are you guys?
Thanks for the great introduction there.
I don't think
we've been called legends before.
You are musical legends. I think
that's very nice of you to say.
I have to like sort of bow down in your presence.
No, nonsense.
Welcome back to the musical world. World, of course, with the excellent new album, which I'm absolutely in love with.
Thank you so much.
I'm going to stick my neck out and say it's my favourite album of yours ever.
Is that right?
Thank
yes.
goodness.
I think
good.
They just get
I'm
better and better.
Chalk that down in the there's a number one in one column. So we've got one person that is their favourite album. That's great.
Best album ever.
thank you.
Of course, I mean, you still sound like Coldplay, which is brilliant, but you've also introduced sort of a slightly different sound as well. You've kind of progressed, I think, with the Coldplay sound. In terms of that, how do you see it?
I think we were looking at different genres of music just to change things up a bit. So we were looking at dance music and hip-hop and more urban things and, you know, listening to great pop tunes on the radio, and we were just trying to draw upon areas of music that we hadn't really explored before. So I think we were really just trying to broaden our horizons a bit.
And including broadening your horizons was recruiting Rihanna for Princess of China.
Indeed.
Yeah, she's joined our band for a bit.
I bet you don't want her to ever go, do you?
No.
What was it like letting her on board?
It was amazing. You know, that song was always written. It was written a while ago, and it was written with as a duet, essentially. There was always a female kind of vocal in it. And I think when Chris wrote it, it was definitely with Rihanna in mind. I think she was always the voice in his head when it was being written. And when it, you know, we tried all kinds of different things, all kinds of different tricks, but it was the essential. It had to be her, essentially. It had, you know, and if you're going to sing a song with someone, you might as well sing it with Rihanna, because she's brilliant.
Okay, in terms of how you got her to do the song, was it literally as simple as making a phone call and there's Rihanna? Because, I mean, I don't think anyone would really turn you guys down.
We had to pay her a fortune. Millions.
She should have done it for free.
No, it was. The song was written, and then Chris went over to see her and played it for her on the piano, and she said she liked it and she'd like to sing on it, and it was as simple as that, really. It was we're amazingly lucky to be in that kind of position where you can where you can call on someone like that, who's obviously right at the top of her game. So we're thrilled with the results, I have to say.
I love the fact that you guys are so humble. It's like, oh, she's at the top of her game. I'm like, you're Coldplay, for God's sake.
Yeah, but we're starting at the bottom every time. We have to, you know, you have to have that mindset. Otherwise, you can't take anything for granted these days. So, you know, we're very happy to play second fiddle to Rihanna.
That's a perfect attitude. I like it. Second fiddle to Rihanna. Let's talk sort of track by track in terms of the songs on the album. Because, okay. I mean, what I find with your music, personally, as a big fan, is that it can, you know, sometimes you listen to songs and you can sort of listen to them, it doesn't really mean anything. Whereas with your songs, you can always relate to them, I find.
Thank goodness.
Well, because you can feel that they're personal, do you know what I mean? The lyrics are there, and I think that they're very personable as well.
Yeah.
In terms of the songs for you, which ones on the album would you say you relate to the most?
Good question.
I like, for many reasons, but there's a song called Up in Flames, which is near towards the end of the album. I think it might be track 9, I can't remember. But it was written right at the very, very end of the session, and we'd recorded a lot of stuff that was quite dense and quite heavy and full, and I think we all felt there was a kind of sparseness and a bit of a kind of emotional tone that wasn't there in the album. And then that song kind of just came out of nowhere. And it was recorded super quickly and really, you know, it's quite raw, it's quite sparse, and it features an amazing guitar riff by Johnny, who's kind of come alight on this record. He rules this record. And so it's just that one for me is the one that I still react to most.
Maybe I have to admit, that's
new.
That's one for me as well. Literally, this is highlighted. I've highlighted all my favourite tracks on it.
Excellent.
What else have you highlighted?
Yeah, what else is on there?
Well, highlighted Major Minus.
Oh,
Charlie Brown, Us Against the World.
All right.
Hurts Like Heaven.
Wow.
Interesting.
Quite a
good
few.
Choices.
Yeah,
that's
well,
good.
You know.
You pretty
you.
Much highlighted them all.
I know. Well, the thing is, I have listened to it a lot, and but Up in Flames is one of those. It's really...
Oh, good.
You have,
that's great.
You have a certain song for certain parts of your life, and I think that's definitely one of those.
Oh, brilliant.
But I also think that it's a kind of, Us Against the World is a typical Coldplay song for me as well.
Yeah. I think that's one of the ones that there's a certain kind of part of our band, a certain side of it, which hasn't changed at all since we first started.
I like that.
Yeah, and there's that kind of quiet, reflective side, and that's always, you know, there's always something on every record that has that kind of feeling in it, and I think that's something that we're very proud of, the fact that we can put a song like, I don't know, like Every Teardrop or like Paradise, big sounding kind of epic pop songs next to something quite fragile and raw. So it's, we really feel lucky that we can still do that, and that people will still listen to it.
And we quite like the fact that you're bringing out your inner proper rock gods with major minors as well.
Yeah, that's a good
one. It's very dark, that song. It's one of the darkest songs on the album, and you know, we always want to make sure that it's well balanced. So songs like Us Against the World are just a kind of tonic to the bigness, like Will says, but Major Minus is probably exploring sort of more darker territory lyrically than the other songs.
It's a good one, though. You can, like, if you listen to it really loudly, you can just get it all out, can't you?
That's the plan.
That's the plan. It's worked magnificently.
Jolly good.
In terms of your previous albums, what do you have any sort of favourite tracks you still love to perform from the older albums?
I think we always enjoy playing the songs that everyone sings along to, because it's nice to be up on stage and performing in front of people, but when people are kind of joining in as well, it really sort of lifts the whole vibe of the concert. So Viva La Vida is a song that people always join in on, and that's a great moment. And some of the older songs like Yellow and the singles that people know are always really good fun to play.
In terms of album tracks, I think some of my favourites from the past are Warning Sign. Big fan of that. And Green Eyes.
Yeah, we used to play Green Eyes an awful lot, actually, live. We used to play it like on the acoustic stage. We used to go out into the middle of the crowd and have a little stage set up in the middle there and play that a lot.
I remember seeing Echo Arena doing that one, actually.
Yeah, that's a good one. It's funny, there were certain songs that on previous records that really lend themselves well to being played in that acoustic style. And there are certain songs that we've never played live. Like there's a song called A Whisper, which is off the second record, which we tried to perform it once in rehearsal or in soundcheck. It just sounded dreadful. It's one of those songs that we can't kind of recreate live for some reason or another. So, yeah, I mean, certain songs will never see the light of day on the live arena, and that's definitely one of them.
Is there any from the new album that you think won't see the light of day?
I don't know. I think it's fun. It's interesting talking about Princess of China. I think we're going to struggle to play that live without Rihanna. So we might have to...
I'll step in and be Rihanna for you.
Would you do that?
Yeah.
Well, that was our next question.
Of course.
Yeah. Awesome.
I might not sound anything like Rihanna.
Doesn't
but
matter.
I can try.
Perfect.
The offer's great. There.
As long as you dance like her and wear those bikinis, you'll be fine.
Yeah, I'll wear the little sparkly hot pants.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about your tour.
Yes.
Because it's very exciting and it sold out within seconds. Now, we had Ed Sheeran in the other week. And I sort of, because I know he's a big fan of yours, and I said to him, surely with you being who you are now, Ed, you know, how well you're doing and how much everyone loves your music, because he is brilliant. I said, you and Coldplay would work perfectly together on a stage in terms of a support act for Coldplay.
Right.
And he suddenly went bright red and very shy.
No.
He did.
Did he?
He's a superstar.
Well... Are you going to get him to support you on tour?
I think that would be great. We have to. We're actually in the middle of sorting that out right now. Trying to, you know, we want to come up with a great bill. So from when the doors open until when people leave, it's all exciting. So we're trying to find someone brilliant, and that's a great idea.
He would slot in perfectly, wouldn't he?
I'm sure he would.
Okay, I'm going to take that as a possible. I'm guessing you love his music. Then is there any other artists at the moment who you're big fans of?
Arcade Fire, we're huge fans of. You know, they never cease to amaze us, really.
They're brilliant. I like Tiny Temper. His performance at Glastonbury was amazing.
He's brilliant.
Totally brilliant. I watched that from the side of the stage. He's a he's a superstar, he's just about to, he feel like he's about to go absolutely global bananas. So I think he's brilliant.
Did you stand there rapping along to Pass Out?
Absolutely.
Amazing.
I'm a great rapper.
Of course you are. when you get to where you are in terms of your career, I know you've said earlier that you sort of always just try and start again with each album.
Sure.
But you have sold over 50 million albums. You've won numerous Brit Awards. You've won Grammys, everything else. Is it just then you get to a point where, because I imagine with some bands, if they're not passionate, that passionate about what they do, they would just stop and go, okay, I'm just going to retire and live off whatever I've earned.
Yeah.
But is it just pure passion that drives you to continue?
I think as long as we feel that we've got something to learn or somewhere to go creatively, I think we'll keep pushing. You know, otherwise, I think you've got to think, if we weren't doing this, what would we be doing? You know, mm-hmm. if we stopped working, we'd all be extremely bored after a couple of months, and probably call each other up and say, can we do something?
Yeah, so you'd end up back together again anyway.
yeah. So I think we've still got a lot to learn, and we've still got a lot of ground to cover musically, and we're just at this point in time really happy and really excited.
Do you still get time to sort of, even though you must spend a lot of time together making music and touring and everything else, do you still have downtime? Do you still sort of go around to each other's houses for dinner and stuff like that?
Well, to be honest, we spend so much time working that the time off that we do get, it's generally sort of, family time. Yeah. We've all got kids now and stuff, so... but, you know, we're never away from each other for more than a week or so. I think the longest we've had off in the last 14 years is a four-week break that we just took in August.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's really just, you know, always about working and being together. So, you know, things are different now because we've all got children that are starting school.
Grown up.
So it makes it harder to go away for months and months on end touring, but you know, we're going to work around that and make it work as best we can.
Okay, now in terms of the new tour, what can we actually expect this time around? How different is it going to be from previous tours?
Well, I think we are still sort of in the planning stages. We've got some shows coming up in Europe at the end of the year, and then we're going to be working towards some larger, more, well, hopefully outdoor shows in the summer of next year, and we'll be looking for, you know, different productions, different kind of lighting, different kind of audience involvement, and we'll really just be trying to explore things that bands haven't done before, and make it as exciting as possible.
I'm hoping that there'll be some good costumes as well, because on the last tour the costumes were pretty amazing.
Yeah,
some good jackets.
That's all you have. All you have as a band really is your jacket. That's all that sets you apart from the other bands. You just got to have good jackets.
You could get like a handkerchief around the mic stands.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
all of that. Silk scarves, the works.
It's got to be done.
Yeah.
Now we do something on our show called The Chosen One, which is a track that we choose every single night that goes out about 9:10. And I think that tonight we should play one of your tracks off the new album. So an album track, not necessarily a single. Which
one? Does it
have
to be off one of ours? Can we choose someone else's?
It kind of has to be off your new album, yeah. I think Hurts Like Heaven would be a really good choice.
With Mullins at the beginning. All right, do that. That's good. There's a committee just decided. We passed that motion. Go for it.
Okay. Could you introduce it, please?
This is... Milo Xyloto and Hurts Like Heaven by the band Coldplay.
Thank you. it's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling in.
We really want you to come back soon. And I'm going to come see you live when you're in Manchester, definitely.
Absolutely. We can't wait. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be totally and utterly brilliant. Before you go, we should get on Paradise or maybe Princess of China. Which one? Princess of China?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do that.
Not?
Can you introduce that one?
Yes, absolutely. This is the song Princess of China featuring Rihanna by the band Coldplay. Please enjoy.
Lovely. But just before you go, will you be doing any sort of more collaborations, do you think, before the next album? Or are you going to... Could you ever do a whole album of collaborations?
Well, we've only just released this one. It gives us a chance.
I know. I'm just getting excited for the next one already.
we're open to it. We're open to it. Send any requests on a stamped address.
Who do you think we should collaborate with?
Well, there's always Adele, of course.
Yeah.
Who everyone loves.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe someone like really different. Someone who you wouldn't expect Coldplay to collaborate with.
I think that's always... I think... no one expects anyone to collaborate with Coldplay, so I think we could pick anyone.
You could. What about like a supergroup, you and U2?
That would be interesting.
I don't know, though. Bono and Chris in the same room. I mean, is it going to work?
The world might explode if that happens. I think there'd be too many. There'd be eight egos like fighting to get in the door. So it would be too much to handle.
What about Gaga?
Now, that would be spectacular.
Yeah.
She can put on a show, can't she? Mm-hmm. Crikey. She's amazing.
Yeah,
she's
let's do brilliant. That. I think you and Gaga, definitely.
All right.
Can you make that happen?
Can you make the call?
Yeah, I'm going to make a list of everyone you should work with and I'll send it over to your plugger and I'll say, look,
perfect.
Guy will have said this is fine.
Yeah.
Chris will be fine with it. It's okay. If he'll wear an elephant suit in the video for Paradise, he'll do anything.
Absolutely.
And then we'll make it happen.
I think that's good. I think it's a plan. Sounds perfect.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much. Nice to talk to you.
You're listening to the In Demand podcast. Don't forget to follow In Demand on Twitter. Twitter.com/AlexandLucy.
In Demand with Alex and Lucy tonight. Loic SCN is back with
us. Hello, Loic. How are you?
What's going on?
Hey, all right, dude. Good.
I'm good.
How
man.
You doing?
I'm great, man.
It's good to have you back here.
Thank you so much for having me back.
Before we go on to the new single, let's talk about how it feels to have had the success you did with How We Roll. Amazing.
Mm. You know, it's crazy because I remember, like, you know, like coming in here and you know, like playing it and, you know, like worried about, like really nervous about what it was going to do. Because obviously, you know, like I had Love Drunk Out. And those were like kind of starter records for me and stuttering
as well.
Yeah, with featuring Dappy. And it was just nice to get like a single that connected and, you know, like just, you know, like working so hard. And I think you kind of know when you've got the record when you're like you're in the studio, like grinding for it. Do you know what I mean? So you kind of feel, you know, when you struck gold after a while. So it's like, and I felt like How We Roll could have been, you know, like, was, you know, like kind of like a summer anthem that I kind of wanted it to be, you know, like for couples to have it blaring out their windows. So I was really excited, man, to tell you the honest truth. And it's been a blessing, man. And, you know, thanks to guys like you supporting me on the way up.
But now, I mean, you say you struck gold with How We Roll.
Yeah.
Me without you is going to be absolutely freaking massive.
Oh, thank
seriously,
you,
the first so. Time we heard it.
Let's all
it.
Touch wood. Can we all touch wood?
Is this is wood under here.
Wood?
This
is definitely wood.
Yeah, wood.
But literally, the first time we heard it, we were like, oh, wait, stop the press. It's amazing.
Because it's but it's just, not what we'd have expected.
It's instantly epic, that feel.
Yeah. There's not a lot of male kind of artists out at the moment in the UK. Mm. And I thought, like, there's a lot of dance stuff going on at the moment.
A lot of R&B dance.
Yeah, a lot of R&B dance. So I thought it'd be nice just to slow it down and kind of, you know, like, be the odd child out of everyone. If you listen, if everybody listens to the lyrics, like, I never once mentioned a girl in it, but it could just be related to, you know, like, anyone that's, you know, like, that doesn't get to see their mum because they work away from home or, you know, like, just trying to be the me without someone that you can't go thinking a day without. So, or something, or
could
whatever
it is. Could
even
be, like, someone dying in your family or
basically,
something like that. Yeah,
exactly
yeah.
like that. So it can be related to anything. Just in my case, you know, it happened to be, you know, like, a heartbreak.
Hopefully. Introduce your brand new song, man, and then we'll chat some more afterwards.
Okay, cool. So this is Loic Essien right now, and we're here on In Demand, and it's your boy Loic Essien, and we're about to get into my new single out November the 6th, Me Without You.
You're listening to In Demand.
In Demand with Alex and Lucy. Loic Essien still with us tonight. Let's do the inevitable X Factor chat.
Yeah, we always like to chat about
this time of year. It kind of is a given.
I haven't really seen it, but I've heard there's a good. Do you know what was funny? Yeah? I have to say this. Kitty. I saw Kitty's audition, yeah? And I haven't stopped laughing since. I think it's like a private joke between me and my friends. Like when she done her performance and she's like, I didn't even need my water.
Oh, yeah.
That was like so such annoying. A classic line. That I think I just loved her for it. Do you know what I mean? As they said, people either hate her or love her.
She's a total diva, isn't she?
Yeah, she's a very big diva. But I think that's why I like her.
Yeah. Well, the thing is,
a bit of drama.
She's already done a lot of singing. She's been a tribute act for Britney and Gaga for years.
Oh.
So I think that's why the whole water thing comes into play, because she's been, you know, doing her gigs and she's like, I'm a proper singer. I'm a professional.
Oh,
I don't even need my water.
But she did a
performance of Bjork's Oh So Quiet. And actually, do you know what? To anyone who hates her, the girl can sing. She was brilliant.
She can sing. She can definitely sing.
But
that's why I think
it's
funny.
The thing is, everyone booing her in the studio. Like, on the Extra Factor, they were interviewing all of the artists, the stars. And as soon as her name was mentioned, everyone went, boo. And the poor girl sat there, and I'm like, do you know what? You might not really like her, but that's well harsh. Yeah, you can't just sit there and boo her while she's sat there.
Dude, thanks very much for coming
to
see us.
Thank you for having me.
Best of luck with the record.
Come back soon. Yeah. Definitely take it easy.
And we'll see you soon.
Thank you so
much. Loic, thank you all.
Thank you.
Don't forget, the In Demand podcast will update on Friday night. Make sure you subscribed and you'll get the best of the guests every weekend.